This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, pod friends, and welcome back to another episode of Wait for it. Pod friends, I'm your host, Matt Scott, and I am thrilled to be here back with you to have candid conversations with people in this RHAP community who I hope that we'll all get to better know by the end of each and every one of these episodes. So last week's episode was with T-Bird. I hope that you loved it. It's been great already seeing feedback and the love for T-Bird. And I am thrilled for you to hear from none other than really my friend, Grace Leader, who is part of this community, part of the class of 2020 in RHAP. And more than anything else, has probably covered like more podcasts and topics than a lot of people in RHAP. And this was one of the things that I really appreciated going into this conversation with Grace, is that even last week when I previewed the episode, like there was so much I left out that she's talked about and focused on. She's the host of the Off Speed podcast, which is more focused on sports here on RHAP. She is the co-host of the Hold Up podcast with Hudson, is the host creator, really, of the Pride Has Spoken, which Evie Jagoda and I are part of. She has hosted multiple Taskmaster games, and I've been able to podcast with her about games like Black Widow Brigade. Shout out to Alex Gardner, who is the creator of Black Widow Brigade and Survivor Philadelphia, but also a lot of, you know, shows that dive into some more serious and queer topics like Heartstopper and Euphoria and Pose, and the list goes on and on. And so I had to have that all listed out to remember. But I think the thing that I love most about this conversation with Grace that I realized in real time is Grace is such a member of the community. And I think a lot of what she shares about her journey, not only did it resonate with me, but I think for a lot of folks who are listening, you'll probably hopefully be able to see yourselves in Grace, where, you know, none of us are just one thing. Like, Grace isn't just trans. Grace isn't just someone living with type 1 diabetes. Grace isn't just, you know, all of these other things that we might have other people define us by. I think Grace really shatters this idea that we could only be one thing and that we're only identified by one thing. And there's so much complexity in each and every one of us. But the other thing that Grace really shows is just like why this community, why these shows, these podcasts, and the conversations we could have around them matter so much to each of us, even personally, when it comes to our mental health and wellness and our growth and everything else. And so I loved this conversation with Grace. I adore Grace. And there's so much to dive into. But before diving in with Grace, I just want to say that I hope that you are subscribed to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/podfriendsfeed. And I hope above all else, you know, there are lots of things I could encourage you to do, but check out the show notes, because that's where you could figure out where to follow Grace, where to follow me, where to connect with PodFriends on social media, on email. One of the things I want to plug this week is that you could nominate a guest. And if you haven't done that already, or even if you have, go to bit.ly/podfriendsnom. That's bit.ly/podfriendsnom in order to nominate someone who you want to hear from in this RHAP community. Those have been insanely helpful to me as I've built out the guest list for the summer of PodFriends. I didn't even realize that was going to be the summer of PodFriends, but I guess it's the summer of PodFriends. Move over, big brother. And just on top of all that, just want to encourage you to leave some reviews, and especially to tweet me at @MattScottGW, tweet me at @HeyPodFriends, tweet the link to this episode out. Sharing is caring. Let the people know what you're thinking and how this story resonates with you, how Grace's story resonates with you. So, thank you so much, everyone. But without further ado, I want to dive into the conversation with Grace. So, making their way to the podcast, hailing from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You know them from the Offspeed podcast, the Hold Up podcast, The Pride Has Spoken, and podcasts about Black Widow Brigade, Heartstopper, Euphoria, Pose, Pro Wrestling, and so, so, so much more. Please give a warm welcome to the gifted, gleeful, grounded, glistening, glorious, graceful, gracious, Grace Leader. And for a second, I thought, you know what? Maybe my first interview question is, Grace, how are we starting this podcast? But, I mean, it could be.
Conan O'Brien, Grace, always does, the guests will always say, like, I'm Grace and I feel blank about being Conan O'Brien's friend. And that's the beginning of every episode.
Do you want to do that?
No, we can't steal Conan O'Brien's bit.
Why not? Is he ever going to listen to this?
No, he's never going to listen to it, but.
Thanks, Grace, for rubbing it in.
No, I'm saying you could, but what I'm saying is you could come up with your own thing. Every time I want to be creative with a pod, and then I'm like, what if I just do it the exact way everybody's done pods forever?
I feel like this is, well, you know what? It's interesting because you have so many different podcasts and you've had so many different podcasts that I feel like, so I feel like the good news of this is I'm not nervous, but the bad news is I don't know where to start, because
that's true.
I'm just like, you know what, Grace, how about you start out this podcast and just,
you mean just, I'm Matt Scott, and is that what you wanted?
Sure.
No,
I don't. Or you could do yourself. Like, I mean, you could be Grace.
I've been Grace for like about 5 years now. I think 5 years. It's been going pretty good.
Oh my God, this is wild. Okay, wait. Let me look at my notes here. I'm trying to get momentum into the podcast.
It's good.
I think we're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. This actually might all be in the podcast,
bro. Okay, yeah, so. Sure.
I don't
keep it.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's recording, so that's the point. You know what, Grace? Maybe like this is the best place to start.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear where the best place to start is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, actually, no. I have another way to start. Okay. So, Grace, if you were me, what question would you ask you to start the podcast?
I've said this a lot, that I feel like I'm very basic. I have very basic takes, so I feel like my answer would be, you start at the beginning, right? Start at the beginning.
Where's the beginning?
Yeah, either the beginning of my life or the beginning of me podcasting, I think, is the beginning, right?
Well, that's a good point. What's your birthday, Grace? You don't have to give us like your social security number and everything, but
yeah, August 25th, 1991, is a Sunday. Yeah.
What time?
I think like the morning. I asked my mom once, so I don't really.
I was born 10:18 a.m. So were you born like 10? I hope you were born at the same exact time.
That would be cool.
Are you looking it up? Do you have like a spreadsheet?
My
of all
mom
these
messaged
facts
me,
you?
So I think I could look up what time I was born.
Mama Leader?
Yeah, Mrs. Leader. She's principal. Mrs. Leader.
Mm-hmm. You're Mrs. Leader's baby girl. We love that.
Yes.
Gosh.
So 1:47 in the afternoon. I lied. I was not a morning baby. I was an afternoon baby.
Yeah. Interesting.
Sunday afternoon. Just
do you know how long your mom was in labor or like, you know?
No, I don't know that one.
Was it C-section or?
No, I don't know. I don't think C-section. I don't think. Wow.
Okay. But actually, the question I did think about related to start at the beginning is like, mm-hmm. I'm not good at signs and like what people's signs are. Are you a person who's like tapped into your sign and that type of thing?
Only my own. Like other people will, like if somebody else is like, oh, I could never be like, wow, that's so Aquarius of you. I have no idea. But for me,
are you an Aquarius?
No, I'm a Virgo.
See, you just completely threw me off there. What does that say about you, though, that you're a Virgo?
The things that I often... So I'm not super into horoscope signs, but I think they're interesting, and I like when people mm-hmm. are into them and then can explain them about me, because I'm very egocentric. I do like when somebody... So the things that people have told me, like, oh, yeah, that's because you're a Virgo. I very much like routine. I don't really like change. I like things like orderly. You've podcasted with me a bit. You will notice that like I'm very rarely late. I don't really like to be late.
You're always early.
I'm always early. I'm like one of those like if you're not early, you're late type people. Mm-hmm. Like I would message you if I'm running late. It's like I'm 2 minutes late. I'll still say, hey, I'm running late. I don't like things changing last minute. I like them like everything in its little box and neat and organized. I love rules, which I think my mom being a principal like might have helped with that. But like a lot of the things I love are very rules structured. So sports and competition reality shows and board games. Dungeons and Dragons has a ton of rules. These are things that I like because you have structure within the thing that you're playing and enjoying. And I really like that.
Do you have like a personal set of rules? Like are you like the David Bloomberg of this Odd Friends episode? Because it kind of sounds like it.
Do you know what? I kind of do have rules in terms of like, I mean, you know, I live with type 1 diabetes, but I do. So this is like helpful for that. But I do like to eat at the same time every day. I often eat, at least for breakfast, I often eat the same thing for breakfast. I am someone who like very much sticks by like, you're not really supposed to eat like chocolate or candy or have like a pop in the morning.
Yeah.
Like you have to wait for the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a breakfast for dinner, but I'm very much like those are lunch foods and those are dinner foods. You know, this is like, these are the rules in which I sort of live my life. Yeah.
This is fascinating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just visiting my nephew like a few days ago and he's 3.5 and we were playing and he has like this ice cream toy set. And it was the morning and I was just like, I love ice cream. Give me more ice cream. He's like, you can't have that. That'll make your tummy hurt. And I feel like you two would get along. He's a little bit of a stickler, if you ask me. Not as fun as you.
I think a thing people might not know, but I think one of my best talents in the entire world, and I always think this might sound weird, I am very, very good at entertaining children. Supremely good at entertaining children. I worked at summer camp for a very long time. Uh-huh. I have most of my best bits are bits that will work on children. It's just the thing I think I'm very good at. And I used to work at summer camp. I don't work at summer camp anymore. We've been in COVID, so I can't even volunteer. So I don't see a lot of children other than my nieces and nephews. But I would happily entertain like a group of children. I once was asked to come and just be the entertainment at a 10-year-old birthday party because these were kids who came to camp and their parents were like, you just like, we don't need to hire a clown or like a Disney princess. If you could just come and organize games for our kids and just hang out with them, that would be great. So I'll do things like, you know, sometimes Matt, I'm sorry on this podcast, I'm going to wix up my merds. Sorry, I'm going to mix up my words.
You don't want to know what just happened to my brain right there. Yeah. That was
my favorite myself. Lunchtime food. This would be a lunchtime food. I put in the lunchtime category would be chilled grease. I'm sorry, grilled cheese.
Oh, whoa.
See?
Are you a stand-up comedian and we didn't know it?
Only for children. I think I could be an excellent children's stand-up comedian. So
I will say for whatever reason, I have an enduring memory. I think from you on the Renap Taskmaster podcast, mm-hmm. you know, because there are people doing their tasks and you and Rob are casually talking. And I feel like Rob said to you, like, Grace, do you do improv? And you're like, no, I've never done improv. And I'm like, Grace, you literally are constantly doing improv. Like, that's what the podcasts are.
That's true. It's like, I feel like the more I've been podcasting, the more I've been, in the Rehab community and the PSR community, the more that like, I think it's maybe not great how much people will see how my brain works. The best example of like a bit that I can't turn off is this one that I've incepted Josh Wiggler's brain on, which is, so say like someone's having computer issues, like I can't hear it. Like, oh, you have to turn it up to max volume. And say, who is max volume? And so the first one ever, I think
on my computer,
I know the first one ever, I think Josh was saying like, oh, like I'm going to play copyright music. Don't sue me. I said, who's sue? And so once you see it, you just can't turn your brain off from seeing it. But I feel like people are getting an insight into my brain is always sort of like looking for the way to like make a joke work or to like work things back around. If I'm not like kind of maybe being serious, and even then, I feel like I'm almost halfway into like improv joke mode all the time. So I think it's a very good observation that like I'm kind of constantly doing improv. I think.
Well, thank you. That's actually lived rent free in my head for months and months and months and months. So I'm glad that I could let it out. But you know what? Okay, we're gonna come back to the summer camp thing. We're gonna come back to the games. We're gonna come back to just all of that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I do want to point out to you. So I had a form asking people like, who do you want to see on PodFriends? And you were actually one of the most requested people on this. And I have some of the comments because one person said, Grace is so quick, witty and funny. And wait, hold on. Let me read this again in the way that, like, to emphasize, because there were all caps.
Yeah.
Grace is so quick, witty and funny. And she's Canadian.
That's true.
That is true. Someone else said, I love her brain. She's so quick. So witty. These are different people who submitted this, by the way. So quick, so witty. I'm incredibly curious about her engagement involvement with post-show recaps and RHAP. Also now curious about the sports podcasting that you do. And then someone else mentioned wanting to know. So you have a lot of fans out there.
I very much appreciate it. I was a very, very shy child. And I think that where my brain, like the reason my brain works in this way is I'm constantly watching. My coworkers would tell me that they would sort of delight in the idea that I would normally come into work and I would say, they would go, so who did you see on the subway today? And then I would explain like, oh, there was, I saw this like incredible person on the subway today. That was just like, you know, did something kind of weird or had something like, weird.
What's an example of that?
Well, so my favorite one that I would normally tell is one day there was, there's a daycare on the way on the streetcar to work. And all of these kids got on the streetcar, like lined up like a single file. And as they were all in the aisle and on the streetcar ready to go, the like driver like jammed on the like, you know, started the thing and they all fell over like dominoes and they were all okay. They were all fine. Oh,
well, I assume that's why I laughed.
Yes, they're all great. And it's just like, I just like watching people. And I was a very quiet child. I'm one of four children. I have three brothers. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very quiet as a kid. It really wasn't until I went to summer camp that I became much more like out of my shell. And so I feel like I watched people a lot. I like watch and observed. I watch a lot of media and you know, I love being up to date with culture. So I feel like I'm sort of was like taking everything in. And then now that like I feel so like honored that anybody would want to like listen to me and like hang out with me and choose to like click on a podcast that I'm on for like an hour and a half and listen to me. But I feel like I'm getting to like use all of my watching ability and then like get to actually regurgitate stuff out that I think, you know, I've always thought I do think I'm very funny. I think that a lot of the people I grew up with, I gravitated towards people who have very similar senses of humor. My brother, Drew, my best friend, we have very similar senses of humor. And it's like my mom hates us being together in the same room because we're doing that thing where we're like watching and waiting for you to say something like kind of wrong and for us to like jump on it and make a joke out of that thing. I don't know. And I think also like my childhood was like, I'm very privileged. There's a lot of ways in which I had a lot of privilege. We were like very much like a middle to upper class family. But we also had a fair amount of turmoil. I have a brother who has addiction issues. I have a brother who has went to prison. And so I feel like my therapist has helped me realize that I don't always need to be funny, but humor was certainly a thing that like, I just felt like instead of being sad, why don't we try to be funny? And sometimes that was like suppressing sadness, which like is a problem. I think I've now figured out like there are times where I can be sad and it's okay to be sad or serious or angry or whatever, but I still devote, I think, much of my time and life wanting things to be fun and funny, because that's what I want to do with my life, I think.
It's so fascinating because you just said a lot. There was a lot things in what you just said. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Throw out the notes. Throw out the notes. Wait, hold on. I have more utensils to throw.
I don't know why you started a podcast with a bunch of, you were going to interview a bunch of people who love talking. And so like, I feel like trying to like have interview questions and notes for these podcasts might be a little bit futile for you, man.
Well, but you're doing a great job. Thank you. I appreciate that. I never really stick to the questions, or I like use them as a way of saying, here's what we're generally going to talk about. And then I just go off of there. I'm like, okay, at least you know, at least you're a little bit prepared. But you know, like there's so much there, and I think, well, like let's start at the beginning, as you would probably tell me to do, in terms of the organization, the linearness of it.
Yeah.
Like, what were you kind of like growing up, or what was that like? Where did you grow up? I know you grew up not in like Toronto, but like in a small town. Yeah. And
I grew up about 2 hours, so it was an hour and a half north of Toronto in a place called the city of Kawartha Lakes, specifically in a village called Woodville, which is very, very tiny.
How many people?
I always remember the sign saying 600 people. I think they're probably closer to like 800, maybe 1,000. Now, but very, very tiny. This is the type of place where like everybody knows everybody. I was a very quiet kid. My mom was a principal, and for a little bit was like the sort of not a principal, worked at the school I grew up at. I was, that rule follower thing. That's very much me. Annoyingly so, because my mom worked at the school, I'd often get good grades, and then people would say it's only because my mom worked at the school. So I was kind of relieved when she actually like, I think I was in like grade 5 or 6 and she actually became a vice principal and moved to a different school. But like super, super quiet. There's a story my mom will tell where going from grade 3 to grade 4 in the Canadian public school system, at least in Ontario, you have to do a speech, a public speaking. It's to help kids. The number one fear of a lot of people is public speaking. So you pick a topic, you do a speech. And at the end of grade 3, knowing that in grade 4 I'd have to do a speech, I told my mom, I think I'm okay. I'll just stay in grade 3 forever. I don't need to graduate. I don't need to do a speech. So I was deathly afraid of doing a speech. But also speeches were like, you like spoke about a topic and you had to keep it within a time frame, whatever. I actually ended up being really good at speeches and did them. I think I won every year except for my last year in elementary school. So I feel like podcasting in some ways like makes sense, knowing that like I did like standing up in front of people and talking. But I grew up in this big household. There's 4 kids. I was the only one to not really play sports, but when you are in 1 of 4 boys in a family in rural Ontario, you spend a lot of time at a hockey rink whether you play hockey or not. So a lot of my time was spent in hockey rinks growing up. So
That's like very fascinating. Look, this is kind of like a thing that's going to be really interesting about this conversation, because like you don't make it easy to interview you in the sense that there are like so many different directions. And I just stopped earlier today and I was like, okay, well, we could talk about sports, the sports, whatever those are. There's pro wrestling, which we podcasted about together. Yes. Then there's this whole world of like queer representation with the Hold Up podcast. By the time this comes out, people will know about the Pride Has Spoken. There's also the Pose podcast, Euphoria stuff. And then there's like the general world. We did Heartstopper, this general world of like scripted TV. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like this world of games. And so we could talk about Taskmaster. We could talk about Black Widow Brigade, which we podcasted about. Shout out to Alex Gardner, creator.
We are on a reality TV network,
And then there's all the reality TV. Yeah. Or we could just go in the direction of Bond movies.
And type of diabetes.
We could so many there. Things. Can't, we could talk about being trans. Yeah. We could talk about all the things. So I feel like something I'm like very curious about is like, how did like what shaped you into that person who is obviously so curious about so many different topics and things and somehow time to talk about all of them in a recorded format.
I love culture. I think that
very culture, so, by the way, I'd say.
Yeah. So some of these things are just like, I like things that make my brain tick in a way that like makes sense. And there's a lot of like parallels here. I was saying earlier that like, I think that like, you know, reality TV and specifically I'm much more like, if you notice the things I've been on, I'm much more likely to be on something where this is a competition and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose much more so than like The Bachelor or The Real World, which like, you know, I love that people love those shows. It's just not like what I am typically spending my time on. So, and then, you know, that relates to games and sports. I think there's a way in which like they're all rules based things, right? There's like a winner and a loser, and you can like analyze whether somebody can be good or bad at that thing. And I think like, if I like then extend to like the world of wrestling and like, you know, scripted TV, I do like to be judgmental. You know, I'm talking about that I sit and watch a lot of things, including like people watching. But I, you know, the idea of like, I studied history at university and I studied sociological, like society history, where, you know, I did a lot of stuff about like, you know, things, how we are as a society, specifically Canadian society. So like, why do parents choose to send their kids to summer camps? I'm interested in like why people do things. And so the thing for me about like wrestling and scripted TV that I think is really interesting is like, why do we watch these things? And then why do things become popular and why do other things not become popular? Why did Survivor blow up at the time, you know, it did? Why did Lost become a phenomenon? You know, Heartstopper, like, you know, it's this cute little LGBTQ show. And I, you know, Hold Up was a lot about looking at like the way that queerness was depicted in culture at like different times and seeing if it now holds up, and like analyzing that and how it like reflects our society in a way. I think wrestling does that a lot, and it's, you know, it's also this athletic sport that I was just drawn to it so much as a kid, this like showmanship of it. But you know, and they're pretty clear stories as well, like good guy versus bad guy typically. And so I like stories, I like thinking about how all of this stuff like interacts with culture and society, which is why I think I'm drawn to like TV. And a lot of stuff I like end up watching is really like the movie podcast, Poster Wake Up Theater, I do with Ariel. We both sort of like at the time when COVID was a little bit different and things started opening back up, we could watch all the movies that were in theaters, like all of them. Like it was not, it's more than probably most people would go see, but it wasn't like there was an infinite number of movies. And so it felt like you could like have this grasp over what society was choosing to like put in our movie theaters and what people, and again, like what our society wants to see at the moment, in a way that was really interesting. And because we were going to see a bunch of movies, then we both ended up being like, you want to do a weekly movie podcast? And Josh Wigler handed us the keys to Poster Recaps Theater. And the thing I still like about that, I can't see everything now. I feel like I'm like falling behind in some ways in terms of the amount of movies I can watch, but I still like knowing like, why did this get made and who is going to watch this thing, you know, is really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I feel like in listening to you, you are like such, you know, maybe more than potentially anyone I've interviewed so far, you are like such an encapsulation of like this RHAP PSR world in terms of like, when I think about all the people I've met who are patrons or who are community members, like we're all one, we're all really into the shows we're into and the things that we watch. And, but also I think we have an appreciation for these things that that other people don't have. Like Survivor, for instance, like I've had conversations with people, even friends who are like, oh, I don't like Survivor. That's just a bunch of people lying to each other. And it's like, well, no, actually, it's a little bit more complicated than that. There are a lot of social dynamics. And so, like so you mentioned, like the sociological aspects of things. And then pro wrestling is another one, obviously, where notoriously people will kind of demean or degrade or look down on it. Like, and you know, pro wrestling has its reputation. I'm sure even people hearing it now who are not wrestling fans will have certain connotations with that. But then, you know,
wrestling has this unique culture though, where it's like, this idea that it's real, which is the thing that I think is always funny. And people are like, my brother used to tell me this all the time. One of my older brothers, he'd be like, you know, it's fake, right? Like all the time. I know you have told me it is fake. So I know it's fake and I'm still choosing to watch it, but it has this very interesting, it has its own culture around pro wrestling, where there is this idea that like the lines between whether it's real or fake are constantly blurred in a way that is so interesting and so fascinating. Like I often, like, that's the thing, you know, you do have a podcast about it where you're like, you're talking about more, you know, if it was just like, was that a good match? Artistically, was that a good match? Like, that's one thing, but there's also all of these like lines that are blurred and people are like, some of the wrestlers are playing, you know, it's their actual real name. Like I could be a wrestler that's Grace Leader, but then I'm like playing this character and how much of it is me, you know, it's like, it's such an interesting thing that, again, I think like I'm a super overthinker as well, Matt. If you haven't realized,
well, I was like, I know this about you.
Yes. I overthink everything. You and I, we're planning a podcast series and like, you know, my brain will sometimes be like 5 steps ahead from where like I'm even talking at the moment because I'm overthinking through every scenario and result. And I think that like, for me, that's like, that's where podcasts come into play is like, oh, I can like watch Survivor and then think about it for, you know, seven more hours. I listened to Rob talk about Survivor for 7 more hours, even though there's only 45 minutes of content on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's fascinating though, because as an overthinker, you're also someone like, I feel like some overthinkers are not able to engage with a lot of content or a lot of different topics and things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I go back to you just kind of setting up growing up, and you mentioned like having a brother facing addiction issues and like prison and these things. And like, even just starting there. And then there's also like all the conversations that we've even had on podcasts, on the Pose podcast, on Heartstopper, probably on another billion podcasts I'm forgetting about, where it's like about a lot of these heavy topics when it comes to queerness. So you've mentioned like this fun, light aspect of things, but like, how do you, I don't know, I'm almost like curious what your brain is like when it comes to those like heavier things, or how you navigate or negotiate those things. 'Cause it's a lot. Like I would imagine that you've overthought those things as much as you overthink like everything else, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
type 1 diabetes is another example. Like, I feel like there's so much, right?
I've said this a lot on like the Post Show Recap stuff I've been covering, because a lot of the stuff has been, it's been super, super dark in content. Like Heartstopper is like the antithesis to most stuff I've been covering on Post Show Recaps, in the sense of like, you know, it's dealing with, you know, Euphoria that Amon and I covered was like dealing with addiction issues and trans issues and sexual assault and all of these like things that are like really like dark topics. One of my favorite shows of all time is literally called Dark. It's a German Netflix show. It's incredible. It's a sci-fi time traveling thriller that also is pretty like dark thematically, like episode one, and no spoil, like this is like the catalyst for the show, is it starts with like the suicide of a father, death by suicide. Like I think that for as much as I love being funny and I the way that like stuff that's like much darker in tone can make me think, like, I like, you know, the way my brain is working a million miles a second in terms of like figuring out the joke to make, I think happens like in spite of me really loving like to dive into something that's like pretty tough to deal with. And again, it's like I'm so like drawn to media and culture in that like it helps me, you know, make sense of some of the stuff that like in the feelings that like I went through. It's like, you know, I was like, so a few things. So like, yeah, my brother, there were some years where he like tormented our family in terms of like his addiction issues. And then it's another brother who actually like ended up going to jail when he was 18. Yeah. And then I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 15 and really struggled with like the loneliness and being alone with that thing. And being depressed. And then also like, you know, thinking I'm a gay man. No, I'm actually like a trans woman, you know, and like the things I had to like navigate through that. I look to media for like feeling like those are normal feelings to have had during all of those things. Like Euphoria tackled, I think, you know, the addiction, actually the addiction stuff and the trans stuff, like some of the best stuff I've ever seen on TV. And so like to get to see it and sit and be like, yeah, like I'm, it sounds silly to feel like I'm relating to other people like through media, but I'm like relating to the world and connecting to the world through all this media I'm watching. And then also to get to do it by like talking through it with other people on podcasts and listening to a bunch of podcasts. Like that's sort of how I navigate through the world mostly. Yeah.
But that's like, again, back to the thing I was saying about you and maybe this conversation being like the most RHAP PSR community type of conversation that, that I've had on Pod Friends. It's that like, literally, I'm sure that like everyone listening's like, yes, this is what I'm getting out of these things. This is what, like, I'm connecting and not only seeing so much in the shows that we love and, you know, are obsessed about and, obviously that we cover and talk about, but also they're able to then process so much through our eyes, mouths, voices and our commentary on all of it, which I think is kind of cool. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that kind of makes it brings me to a question about just sort of like there's so much there, and I don't want to I'm actually gonna pause for a split second because this is gonna be a great place for me to add an ad break after what I just said. But there are a million. I know. Okay, we're back from the break. But literally, Grace, there are a million directions to kind of go in with this conversation from here. But something that I want to kind of hop back to is, you know, you kind of have brushed over some of the more challenging things. And again, I think a lot of people could relate. Like, that's one of the things I love about Pod Friends, where people, you know, I'll hear from people after the fact, like, oh, this person mentioned like mental health or this kind of struggle or that kind of struggle. And I relate to that. But, you know, on a lighter note, I actually wanted to talk about something that I think a lot of people in this community might know you for, which are games. And early in this conversation, you talked about summer camp and what you've done there and the games. But I want to ask, like, what kind of games, like, would you bring in? Well, I say bring into, but like, what kind of games would you introduce to the community there?
Like in summer camp?
Yeah.
With
kids.
Well, so like we did a lot of you have to entertain, like, you know, our camp was pretty tiny. We were a specialty camp. So we were a camp for children also living with type 1 diabetes. All the campers had type 1 diabetes.
Oh yeah.
So a pretty small camp. But I think there's like two things, the two ones that I love the most. So like, you know, there's all like the daily activities kids are going to go, you know, we'll send a group off to go kayaking, or those kids are going to go to the rock wall or whatever. But there's two times that I really love in the day. So one is like, there's so much downtime, especially at diabetes camp, because the kids all need to like carb count so that they know how much insulin they're going to take for their meal. And they actually, like, one thing that, like, you know, as a someone living with diabetes, especially like running summer camp, I was a camp director. So I was a camper and then a counselor and then the counseling director. And then I became the camp director. That's my trajectory. And I didn't just, I ran summer camp, but I also ran family camps. So the whole family would come for the weekend. Maybe the kid was too young to camp or didn't know if they wanted to go. And I would run teen weekend programs and day camps. So I did a lot of camp stuff. There's so much downtime at like summer camp, where, especially at diabetes camp, because kids have to, like, you check your blood sugar and then you go to the board and you're like, what are we going to eat? What am I going to have for lunch? You have to decide before you eat because the doctor needs to tell you, or your pump needs to tell you how much insulin you're going to have. So you have to decide, I'm in the mood for 3 pancakes today because it's breakfast, and I'll have 2 sausages and I'll have a glass of milk. And you have to count how many carbs that is. And so you have to do that with each one of your individual campers. And so there's a ton of downtime at camp. And what, you know, we had to like enforce with our staff is like, you have to be good at filling in downtime. The times where your kids are going to like act up are going to be when there's downtime. That's when bullying happens. That's when homesickness happens. You know, they're going to go kayaking and they'll, you know, they might think about it for a second, but then they're like kayaking or they're climbing the rock wall, you know, but it's like the time where you're just like sitting around waiting for something to happen. So you have to be good. And so when I was talking earlier about like all the things, you know, the bits that I have in my, but like we used to have this thing, it's, you have to have your back pocket games. You have to have like these little things you can constantly be doing if you notice that your kids are like bored, that you have to do. So like my favorite game was like this game called Ninja, which people might know, where like everybody gets like a turn and you can only move like one movement and you have to try to like tag somebody else's hand. And anyway, it's really fun. Or there's like Gaga Ball where, it's like you're in a pit and it's great. You like, you know, it's kind of like dodgeball, but you're kind of like using like volleyball hands. So all the stuff that you could like do while your kids have downtime was the best. And then I loved like camp wide games, and specifically ones where like you got to be super creative. So we would do like, you know, you would take a board game like Scrabble. And so a bunch of the staff would have letters on their and they would run around. And if a camper tagged them, they get to bring them back and then try to spell out a word with all the people that they've had. Stuff where it was like, you could be very creative with the stuff you're doing, or like, you know, murder mystery nights or things like that were like, for me, some of the most fun things I got to see, like, you know, we created them and put them on for kids, and then kids got to engage with them and have fun. So, camp is super cool. Camp is the best.
It's interesting because I have, my best friend, Eric, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I think when he was 16. And we actually went to high school together. We were not friends in high school. We knew each other in high school. We weren't like friends in high school. And, you know, but it's interesting because I am so, one thing I kind of noticed with him, and then also with a lot of other folks who through him I've met who live with type 1 diabetes or with diabetes in general, is that so many of those people, one, have like been involved in these types of camps, but also, well, unfortunately, a lot of people also haven't like found that community other than like the diabetes online community and all these things. But I'm like fascinated because, you know, I wonder where the advocacy and your interest in advocacy and kind of doing that type of work started. I mean, obviously there's the camp, which you mentioned, which relates to that. And I know you work in like the diabetes advocacy space, but, like where did that kind of pop up for you? Because you, I mean, like in many of the podcasts we've even talked about, there's a lot of like issues, and I know you're a curious person, but like that doesn't necessarily always translate to action. And so I'm like fascinated by that.
Yeah, I, you know, the one thing I'll just quickly say about like, so specifically the camp I went to was, is a camp for children with type 1 diabetes. It's like, I went there as a camper as well. Right. I went when I was 15 and I got diagnosed with diabetes and I was a rule follower. So they were like, you have to test your blood sugar 3 times a day. You have to take, you know, take your, 5 shots a day, more if you want to have any snacks, you know. You take a shot at the beginning of the day, a shot at the end of the day, and then before every time you eat, and, you know, do all these things and you're good. And I remember like, it, you know, probably you meet with your doctor, at least in Canada and Ontario, every 3 months. And I remember going back and they were like, okay, wow, great. You did all the things here. You know, I wrote down all my blood sugars and they tested my, like, you know, they do this test called an A1C, which tests what your blood sugar has been on average. And, you know, you want it to be in a certain range. And so I just remember this meeting, the second meeting I went to, where they were like, okay, you did it. And like, essentially then they were like, okay, do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, wait, what? Like, I kind of thought like I could do it and then I wouldn't have to do it. And so, you know, you're still a rule follower, so I still do it for a bit. And then it just got incredibly tiring, you know, like even very quickly. I remember, you know, having diabetes burnout. You're like, nobody else has to do all the things that I have to do because I got this stupid disease for literally no reason. Nobody else in my family has type 1 diabetes. It's so stupid that I got it and it's so annoying. And, you know, I was also internally, I didn't tell anybody this at the time, but I was dealing with like, I'm pretty sure I'm queer. I might even be trans, but like, I don't even know the word for trans. I was very depressed. And I had this moment, where, I took too much insulin. I had had a lot to drink. I was at a high school party and I took too much insulin and kind of like admitted at the same time, like, yeah, that was an accident, but also I don't really care. And so, somebody called my parents and I got driven to the hospital. And that was the moment of like, we got to figure something out. Maybe you should go see like the social worker part of your clinic. And that was okay. I went and it was fine for a bit. And then I went to camp and I met people who understood exactly what it was like to be going through the stuff that I was going through. Met people who, even just little things like, doesn't suck when your blood sugar's low and you have to eat like everything in your fridge, because like you just like are so hungry. It's like, you know, and I was like, yeah, that does suck. It doesn't suck when your blood sugar's high. Yeah, it does suck. And just like being able to relate to people, I often say, like, I was going to therapy after like I had taken too much insulin. But I really do think like going to summer camp, meeting people who I'm still friends with to this day, it literally saved my life. It changed my life, but it saved my life. And so I'm very fortunate that I like got the opportunity to go to camp and meet all these amazing people. And I have to think like people living with diabetes, I have a bunch of different things that I think like they certainly make my life harder. I'm very privileged in many ways. I have like a good job, whatever, like, but being trans is hard. Living with diabetes is hard. I got diagnosed with colitis a few years ago. Like that's really hard. All of these things. And through all of those things that I've ever sort of struggled with in my life, the only things that ever really made it better to the point that I was like, it's okay. And it's worth having all of these things that are hard in your life. And actually in some ways they actually make you a very strong person or, not a better person. That sounds bad, but like the people I know who live with diabetes, it's like this full-time job. And so like, the stuff that people living with diabetes are doing on top of just having to live their life is like a lot. And so I think two things here. One is that like, if we can help build community in that sense, that's amazing. And we should be trying to do that. That's what I love about like these summer camp programs. I support this camp called Camp Ten Oaks, which is in Ottawa, which is a camp specifically for LGBTQ, either kids or like children of queer like parents. And so, again, it's just like providing community to like people and knowing that other people are going through things that are hard and also celebrating the things and getting to know these other people. And then advocating for, the government and the world to make it easier for us to, it shouldn't be harder for us to have to live our lives. We shouldn't be at a financial disadvantage in our life because we got a chronic disease. I fundamentally don't think that that's fair. And so these are all the things. I think it's community and then fundamentally like, not being at a disadvantage in our life. Like trans people shouldn't be harder for trans people to find housing. These are all just like basic human rights that we should have. My insulin, I don't even think I should have a copay on my insulin. I actually don't.
Right.
But like, I don't think anybody should have a copay on their insulin, So these are all the things that sort of have drive me to do any of my advocacy work or any, organizations that I want to donate to or anything like that. Like, I think that those are the two most important things is like equity and community, I think are the two most important things. And, there's a lot of ways in which like this community, like Rob is a podcast and kids are like, not only does this, these two groups, like there's such wonderful community in here, but I fundamentally believe there's so many people in this community who are also striving for the same like equity in the world as other people. Some of the stuff that I've seen, like, Rob, be an advocate for when like there's like things happening in the world and he's willing to, let's talk about the Pride of Spoken. Like, we were like, let's have shirts and can the shirts be donated to a good cause? And Rob immediately says, yes, I'm very happy to do that. I think that these communities fundamentally believe in the same things that I do and they're a wonderful community on top of it.
Yeah. And I absolutely want to ask you about the community in a little bit, but something that, I think maybe thinking out loud, because I just had this realization as you were talking, is that I think like the beauty of Pod Friends, and people sometimes say to me, they're like, oh, Matt, you should do an interview with yourself or have someone interview you or something. And I think the reality is like the place where the conversations are the most fruitful is like where I kind of see something that maybe I connect with in my experience and then, could kind of like dive deeper with that. And the thing I'm connecting with you is, other than like this beautiful community, which we'll definitely talk more about, is like this thing where, like you mentioned, like type 1 diabetes and being trans and colitis, and like there's like stacking these things on top of each other. And then I think of like being a Black person, but then also a queer person. Yeah. And then also like I grew up with like horrible asthma, but also still have like a horrible deathly like nut allergy and that type of thing, which I also navigate. Like, do you have a hierarchy of these things in your mind or like where some of them take priority over others? Cause like one of the things I feel like I sometimes struggle with all of these different things, which I guess you could call them identities or, challenges, is that I find sometimes it's so hard to bring all of those heavy things into a space because we don't always see like even in the shows that we watch, we don't necessarily see like the trans person with type 1 diabetes and colitis and like all of these things, or we don't see like the Black queer person who has like the nut allergy and, you know, all of these other things. Right. And so I like, how do you navigate that, asking for myself, but also for others who probably are like, you know, like I always think of the people who I hear from who like relate to, you know, they relate to one person's story in Pod Friends, then the next person, then the next person, but for different reasons. Like, how do you navigate that? It feels like a weird question, but maybe because I have no clue what the answer is personally.
No, I always, I've said this, like, I've made this joke to my friends sometimes where it's like, I wonder what, like, I actually don't want to know the answer to, but I wonder if, like, if you asked everybody at my work, so, like, say they have to, like, explain me to somebody who, like, somebody who kind of, like, needs their memory jogged, and, like, you know, Grace, the blank, blank, blank. Like, what are the blank, blank, blanks? You know, like, you know, Grace, the trans diabetic in the corner, you know, Grace, you know,
in the corner.
You know, yeah, I do have, like, a corner, I have, like, a corner cubicle.
Fancy. Or, you
know, yeah, I know.
With, I'm sure, yeah.
It looks like Quiz Park, and I can see this in the CN Tower. It's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
Or like, you know, Grace, like, the witty podcaster, you know, like, you have different people.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I think that, like, as you were saying it, I think that, like, you know, if my identities make up a pie chart, I think that they fluctuate depending on where I am. I mean, I was I was at a healthcare conference a few weeks ago where, as part of my job, I'm like a representative of Diabetes Canada. And I feel like my type 1 diabetes, like when I'm there, is a much bigger chunk of my identity than it is when I am like with my friend. Actually, that's so tricky. A lot of my friends, like, I know from camp and have type 1 diabetes. So, like, actually it plays a big chunk. Or, like, you know, when I'm on the Heartstopper pod, my transness and queerness, I feel like it takes up more space than when I'm on, you know, the Shining Girls podcast, you know, whatever example, you know, I can give. And so I feel like I don't have like a hierarchy of, I think, my identities. I think that they are all important to me, and they hold more weight at different times depending on where I am. I mean, I you know, that's such like an experience of like queer people, I think, of like, you know, that like, and I think, you know, Black people as well, there's like, you know, the shifting of what your identity is, depending on like who you're with. I feel it heavily, like when I'm like, there's times where like, I don't want to be known as a trans person, because it's like just for my own safety. It's easier. And so, yeah, my identities like shift and sway depending on who I'm with, where I am. What podcast I'm on. Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I like really appreciate about you and your voice in this community is that, like, you know, and we've talked about this on the Heartstopper podcast a bunch, but like, there are, like, it's so easy to like look out and see a group, and like, whether that's Black people or people living with type 1 diabetes or trans people or like queer people or like whatever, whoever it might be, and you kind of, like, a lot of how a lot of these identities have been represented in media is just like trauma. And I feel like something that's really beautiful is that you also, in like sharing your experiences, share like the beauty of those. But before I even like move on from this like topic, I'd love to know, like, at least from your perspective, because I could like, I think when I, maybe I'll just stop in and say, like, when I think about like, being Black, there's so many beautiful, amazing things about that. And I'm like so thankful to be a Black. Like, I believe it or not, Grace, I never have like the, as tough as things could be, I never have the thought that I'm like, oh man, I wish I were white, you know?
Yeah.
And, or like, you know, even in being queer, I think that there's, you know, there are a lot of moments where, and we see this in the Heartstopper and talking about it, but, you know, you kind of have to like, there's sometimes grieving of a loss of like, oh, I don't get to have the life that like people assumed that I would have or told me I would have. But beyond that, like,
yeah,
I don't know, is there anything that you just kind of want to like celebrate about yourself in the, in those identities in this moment, or like anything that people don't see when it comes to like navigating with those things? Because I ask this question because I don't want anyone to leave this podcast thinking like, oh, look at Grace. Look at how those like those things suck. Because I've also heard you talk about how amazing, you know, the different like identities you carry are.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the thing, again, like I'm just, you know, going to end up going back to like why I think community is so important is that like the best piece of all of the all of these like identities that I carry have been the way in which they've opened up doors for me to connect with people who I wouldn't have maybe otherwise connected. So like obviously like type 1 diabetes plays a huge role in that because, you know, it like foundationally like camp is such a important piece of me. It's like it was my first like job coming out of university. You know, my best one of my really good friends, I'm gonna be at his wedding, like we met at camp. And so yeah, again, like I talk about like these people living with type 1 diabetes are like, you know, these incredible people. I think that like, you know, it's not like that they're suffering through their life.
Right.
It's like they just kind of have to do extra stuff that other people don't have to do. And in many ways, it's like, you know, the way I could like look at somebody and you know, be like, we do like look at their plate of pasta and they can like do the math on how many carbs that means to like how much to know how much insulin they have to take. There's a thing that like people with diabetes do all the time. So I just think like some of the people I've met through diabetes organizations have been some of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. And then, you know, I think about like all the people I've got to connect with through like queer spaces and trans spaces. Like, yeah, trans people and queer people are like incredible and amazing and are like breaking the mold of like, you know, heteronormativity. And like, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff happening in the world right now that like people are trying to like protect that like cis heteronormativity. But like, queer people are so awesome. Like they're so awesome. And we bring like this unique perspective, I think, to the world because we're looking at the world in a way that like it wasn't exactly made for us. And yet we're trying to figure out how to like make it work for us, I think is like really cool. So, yeah, I've just met like, you know, the way we connected through a lot of the stuff that we've done, like, you know, we actually like, I think our first match probably was like a wrestling wrap up. If I'm not forgetting something else on the line. But then you came on Pose and then we did Heartstopper and like, you know, the things that we can relate to that like other people can't relate to. I don't mean to feel like exclusionary in that sense. You know, don't make me go on a rant about how the A is not for ally, Matt. You know, it's just like you and I have a connection that like, you know, non-queer people won't understand, you know? And so that's for me, like and even colitis, like getting into school, I met a few people who, you know, it's just like the openness in which we talk about like poop is like, that's something I had before, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been the best thing about like all of these like things that like, they're like sometimes make my day harder. And in many ways, like I've got to meet a lot of cool people. And like, I don't always believe that like, I don't believe that people should have to go through hard things, but I also do believe that going through hard things can sometimes, you get things out of it occasionally. Cause like, I don't agree with the, like, you know, everything's meant to happen. You know, I don't fundamentally subscribe to that. Like if we can make not bad things happen to people, that would be tremendous. That would be great. But there's ways in which like I've had to go through things that I think have made me a better person on the other side of it. So
A superhero, some might say. I might say that's why we call you Stella Skewsy.
that's right
Oh my gosh, there's like so much that we've already touched on, but I want to talk about this RHAP PSR community. Like, how did you find this community? What's your origin story? And like, I don't only mean from like getting involved in the community, but also from the perspective of like, you know, that journey from like here listening to the podcast to actually being on them and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah. So I've always been a huge Survivor fan. It's like, I don't think I've watched anything, maybe wrestling. I've watched more wrestling than anything else in my life, but Survivor
only
probably.
There's like, there's like
a million hours of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, I have very fond memories of watching, you know, jumping in at some point in that first season. And you remember when the finales used to be on Sunday and my mom we would have Sunday parties for the Sunday Survivor finale. So we'd have ice cream and we'd buy things from like the bulk barn, gummy bears and syrup and all that fun stuff. And so Survivor just held like such an important piece of like, you know, it was a thing my family all watched together.
And then I kind of fell off of it. And when I was in university, I got back into Survivor. I believe the season I watched, the first season I watched back was Gabon, first season of HD. I love that season. I have such a soft spot for that season. And so I got back into it and then decided like, oh, I need to watch everything I missed. And I'm actually going to go back and rewatch everything. So I like slowly did the rewatch and I was, you know, have not stopped watching since. And then around season 30, which was the season 31, I guess, which is the Second Chances season. Mm-hmm. I had like seen like the Rob, you know, like Rob is a podcast stuff, but it was the interviews with all the players like pitching themselves for Second Chances that made me get really involved in the Rob is a podcast world, listening to as many podcasts in a week as I could. And then when Rob as a podcast decided to come to Toronto for a live show, that's when I, in order to make sure I would get tickets to the show, became a patron to get early access and fell in love with the community. I did a lot of, you know, going back to games, I did a lot of like, sort of like, you know, Secret H was big for a while.
Yeah.
Doing some of that, that stuff. And then, yeah, the class of 2020. Rob pitched it and I decided I was going to apply. But at the same time, there was this thing in the back of my head that said like, okay, if you don't get it, I kind of kept saying, ooh, wouldn't that be like a dream to get the podcast on Rob as a podcast?
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, if you don't get on, why don't you work towards maybe you get on in the future? And so get your reps in. You know, I've heard Rob talk about like, you know, the 10,000 hours of it all. Maybe you just have to, you know, start a podcast. So I did this sort of like, if anybody's looking to do a rewatch podcast, where it seemed to be hot at the time, like anybody wants to do something. And that's what Hudson, my good friend, who was holed up, reached out and was like, I've had this idea of like watching old queer media, seeing if it holds up. And I was like, that's so fun and we should call it Hold Up. And that was born. And luckily at the same time, Rob like allowed me into the class of 2020, which I feel very privileged and honored. Again, that like anybody really wants to listen to me still kind of blows my mind. I had this really great day where I had done a Big Brother Canada podcast, a recap, and one of my coworkers, like Teams messages me and it like calls me and is like, I'm listening to you on Robin's podcast. How is that possible? I was like,
oh my God,
I don't know. I don't know. And I kind of explained like that whole story. And they're like, this is wild that you're like on this podcast. I was like, yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. So yeah, it's been really cool. And then, you know, obviously I did I've done a fair amount of stuff with Rob as a podcast, but I've always loved Scripted TV. And I don't know. I just sort of, I became a patron of the Post Recap Subscribe. I actually didn't listen to it. Forgive me, Josh Roger, if you're listening to this. I didn't watch a ton, listen to a lot of the podcasts that were on Post Recaps, but I really loved some of the stuff that Josh was promising as part of the Patreon program for Post Recaps. So he was going to do, you know, people would vote on movies and him and his wife, Emily, would watch them. And there was just a bunch of stuff in there that I was like, that sounds interesting. And he launched the Discord, and Discord has really become a place, especially during COVID, that's really become like, I'm on there a lot. I'm in there a lot. And you know, a lot of the stuff I've done, you know, camping, you know, being a camp director, you know, it's all about community. And so, you know, chatted with Josh and it eventually sort of became, a moderator in there. And also, you know, I just kept pitching stuff to Josh and he would say yes. And so I don't know why, but he's continued to let me continue podcasting about stuff over on Post Show Recaps. And then, yeah, recently suggesting, Rob did a call out. He said, I'd like to cover sports and I don't know how to do it. And so, not that he doesn't know how to do it, but he was kind of looking for ideas. And so I pitched him something and he said, okay, why don't you do it? And I was pitching it actually as like, I would listen to it. But he was like, no, you do it. So go for it. I trust you. And, so that's been really cool. I've really loved that. Again, it's like, for that, it's like diving into different communities. You know, we did an episode on hurling, this like Irish sport. We're just like, talking about what that community is like, Australian rules football. That's been like the fun of that stuff of like, it's sports and community. So yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause you started to talk, you mentioned Josh Wigler and Rob, obviously, but like, does anyone stand out in your mind as you think about like people you kind of met as you started that journey or people you've met along that journey that kind of have been pivotal to your, you know, kind of the place that you are now, where you're everywhere. You're literally like this, like the week that this comes out, there are probably, I would guess, like 5 different podcasts that people could hear you on. Just like download that content and listen to, who knows? But does anyone kind of jump out to you as like people who've helped form the journey?
I mean, both Rob and Josh, it's hard not to, you know, shout them out as sort of like the two like patriarchs of these two networks.
What would you say your relationship is with each of them? I'm curious about that, but also I think something that fascinates me is that, I don't know, like, I always just wonder what people think like goes on behind the scenes, or like if we all have like potlucks together, which like obviously we don't because like we don't live in the same place, but also pandemic world. But yeah, like what's that? I don't know. What do you think about them?
It's nothing serious. I mean, like, you know, me with Rob every once in a while to chat about, you know, the podcast, and, you know, if he wants to have me on, it's, you know, he I think that they're both so incredibly like down to earth people. They're not these like, you know, and I think that both of them from, again, like, I think the reason these communities have been so successful is because of their sort of accessibility in a way. Like the amount of stuff Rob is doing all the time to like be accessible to patrons is like incredible. Like if you look at all the patron content, like so much of it is about sort of getting access to him in a way. And he's incredibly down to earth. He's incredibly nice. And, you know, I think that, you know, and Josh, I really have become, I think, you know, a lot of the stuff I do is on Post-Show Recaps, and I like really can't like, you know, say enough about how much like Josh, I think he just sort of believed in me in a way that like I don't know why. And I just like I vibe so much with Josh on about, you know, in terms of like being in that Discord and eventually becoming a moderator, like on like what community means to people. And we vibe on a lot of the a lot of similar things about, you know, if someone's speaking up, it probably means there's other people who are thinking it and really wanting to make sure that like we're building inclusive space. And, you know, some of these like the sentiments of like, well, if we can do that, why wouldn't we do that? In terms of like things that are about accessibility or equity and things like that. Ariel is another person, my co-host on Post-Show Recaps Theater, who I just adore him so much. And, you know, also shout out Hudson, who, you know, we created Hold Up together. And that has been something that like, as sort of other stuff has come up, we've been doing that less and less. We haven't done that episode in quite a while, but my first like, you know, podcast partner, in a way. And then, through Post-Show Recaps Theater, like Ariel and I, you know, that was the first, like, we do that not every week. We've taken a few weeks off, but in terms of like, it's not like we're doing a show where there's a season. We've kind of just been doing it since August. And like, I've never even thought about the idea that like, oh, we're going to take a little bit of time off. I just love Ariel so much when he brings, to podcasting. His like, I think he has a lot of that same, like, wants things to be fun energy, which I very much appreciate. So he's been great. I feel like this is so dangerous, Matt, because you've now like, is there anybody you want to like shout out? And I feel like this is like giving the Oscar speech and you're so afraid you're going to like forget, like, you know, your partner's name or something. Like, well, there's too many people, I think, to name.
No, and I think it's interesting because like along the way at different points in your journey, like you'll definitely think of different people. Like, I'm sure there's a point where like Hudson's the first person that you think about, or, you know, I appreciate you indulging me with that question, because I was like, how's Grace gonna handle this landmine? Who's gonna be listening?
I know.
Will Jessica Lease be listening and be like, you didn't mention me in the Bond podcast?
Our James Bond, you know, we only did a few of them because kind of like we ended up thinking that it made more sense. You know, we did a few, we kind of had people vote on different eras of Bond, and then the new one came out, and then it kind of felt like, all right, the movie's out, and like, are people clamoring for Bond content? I don't think so. I think when there's another Bond thing, I would love to get back on the mic with Jessica Lease. But like, I feel so fortunate that like, if I just run through sort of like the people I have been able to either just like be on a podcast, like, Matt, I don't know if Taryn Armstrong could be a fairly intimidating person.
I've talked about this before.
Yeah. I always remember Rob saying he's always kind of a bit like a cat. That you're like, you know, if you meet a cat at a hat, you're not for sure. And I've been really appreciative of like, I feel like I don't know whether this is true or not, but feeling like I broke the ice with Taryn was like a really great moment, getting to be on some of the Big Brother podcasts with Taryn, getting to do Pose with Zed. Like right now I've been doing Shining Girls with like Dr. Amanda and Melissa are both like incredible podcasts. I do a lot of stuff with Rich Filiberto, who like has been such a great support person for me over the last few years as well. So like, yeah, there's just so many people to name, but I feel like, one of the things I've loved getting to do is I love a podcast format where it's co-host. So with Heartstopper, we did this where it was like you and me, and then every once in a while you bring on like the third person. And I love when those two people have never podcasted before. It's one of my absolute treats is to like play a little bit of matchmaker. Like I think when you podcasted with you, the first podcast you ever did with Zed was a Pose podcast, right? Where you came on for Pose. We recently did some stuff with Winning Time where it was like I was podcasting with Jason. Jason's also incredible. I need to shout out Jason. Mari. I mean, it's too many people, man. I can't.
Stop I know. Stop no, me. I'm going to say, oh, stop, Grace, stop. You're, you're. I know you want to shout out everybody. A lot more people, but you don't. You can't just stay here shouting people out. This is, but I think that this is kind of cool. You know, it's this is just a nice wholesome podcast where I think people could kind of see one. I've like said this a ton of times, but I think a lot of people could see themselves in you for a variety of reasons, which I think is like the beautiful part about this community. I'll also mention as a side note, and you mentioned wrestling as like the first time we podcasted, but actually the first time where I was like, who's this Grace character, was actually when I was watching, like, it must have been Big Brother 22 and you were podcasting with Taryn. I'm sure it was like Taryn and Rob and whoever. Yeah. And I remember hearing your CG, your CGM, your continuous glucose monitor. Like noise things, whatever. Yeah. I totally probably butchered that.
No,
like,
it's,
oh, Grace has diabetes and some of my best friends have diabetes and like connect in that way. And so
I feel like it's a very fun Easter egg. I think I've explained it probably on like a pod or two, but like if you don't know me, like I feel like if you've heard me on a podcast, you have definitely heard my like insulin pump make noise, which is basically my insulin pump is telling me something about my diabetes. Like it's either telling me like, oh, your blood sugar is a little bit high, I'm going to give you some insulin. Oh, your blood sugar is dropping a little bit. Like whatever, it's like telling me something. But I feel like the first time I ever podcasted, somebody said like, oh my gosh, it's so cool that there's like a diabetic podcast. Like, how did you know that? And they're like, I heard your pump in the background. Same. And so I do feel like it is kind of a fun little Easter egg calling card. I hope people don't get annoyed by it, but my response is, and I think Josh Wigler told me this once, I was like, if people are complaining about your life-saving device, I think they'll have to like check themselves. So I'm sorry if it annoys you, but it's also saving my life. So
oh my gosh, no. First of all, to borrow from Heartstopper, Grace, don't stop apologizing. You don't have to say you're sorry. Stop apologizing, please.
I am Canadian. I do love saying sorry. I do.
Sorry. Very Canadian. This is
the Canadian accent. Do I have a Canadian accent? I feel like
your stories are very Canadian, but other than that, I mean, you do give Canadian, but you give big Canadian energy is what I'd say. BCE. So sorry, that was a little too funny. I think something I want to know about you, because like we're kind of getting to that sad point in time where I'm like stalling and spinning the wheels so we could keep going, even though, you know, I've loved to like ask this question to people, and not even like, I don't even know. I think I've asked it honestly, Chris. I don't remember half of what I ask people in interviews. I go more on vibes, but I want to ask you something, that's kind of just like big picture, looking at your life and at your story a little bit. Nothing, no pressure, nothing intimidating. Yeah. And you know, a question I love to ask people is like, if your life were a book or documentary, what would the title be and why? And I just love to hear what people say, but I know that this might be challenging. I wonder, do you have a response to that question? I don't want to put you on the spot as a chronic overthinker, but also as a chronic overthinker, which I kind of am. You probably have this figured out already.
The title of my book or documentary?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a bunch of, you could have a bunch of puns on my name. So, you know, a little bit of, give yourself a little bit of grace, maybe. You know, you know, that's probably it. Right. Cause then like people, you know, and then when you buy the book, you're giving yourself a little bit of grace, right. That's good. Right.
It works on a lot of levels actually.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Good grace. Wow. Good grace. That'd be good.
Do you have others?
I think
you're known for your wit and what other words did people use? Your wit, your quickness, and all of the things. So
I got very alarmed once. I was in a meeting and I made some, it was a very serious meeting. We're like, not serious, but it was like a lot of people in the room, like vice presidents, executive directors, all these people. Yeah. And I made some joke and I remember someone saying like, you always know it's a grace is in a meeting when there's a joke. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's good that like in front of all the VPs and the executive directors, you like, you just totally stall out my entire career because I'm just going to only be known as the jokester. I don't know. Yeah.
But give yourself a little grace,
A little grace. Yeah. See, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, right?
It is pretty good.
I'm sure it's already a book. So yeah.
You know, Grace, there's like, we've talked a lot about kind of like a lot of things that relate to you in this community. I think that something that's like tough is talking about things that like people haven't heard you talk about because you've talked about so much. Uh-huh. But I am kind of curious about like advice you have for people. If there's like wisdom you have to share with people in the community in any sense, because there's so much that we all already kind of get to learn from you and, you know, gain from you in terms of navigating this world, in terms of all of the different topics we've talked about. But I wonder, like, do you have any like, damn, I'm not great with the puns. I was looking for a grace pun there. Do you have any like, nuggets of, wisdom? Damn, couldn't get the grace pun in there or the leader one. Any leadership advice?
Ooh, hop aboard the leadership. So that could be another book title name if you want. I used to be like, you know, preparing. I feel like I used to give this advice a lot, which is like, it can't hurt to say it. It can't hurt to ask, which is a thing I've done. I feel like a lot of like, you know, the success I've had in the podcasting community and getting is like, cause I've been willing to ask, for things. But I also want to caveat that with like,
yeah,
you have to like set yourself up to be in a position where like, if you get told no, you'll be okay. And whether that's just like being in the right headspace to know like, okay, I'm going to ask this thing and I'll be okay if I get told no. Or having a friend you can go vent to if somebody, you know, tells you no, or says maybe not all of that thing, but some of that thing, you know, because I feel like a lot of the success I've had, in a lot of places is by kind of like going for it, just doing it. I can be, because I'm an overthinker, there's a lot of ways in which I can also be very impulsive because I do the thing before my brain can tell me why that's a bad idea. Like it's like a survival mechanism that I've done a lot in my life. And so, in many ways in my life, I've been very lucky and that has like worked out. And in other ways, it like didn't work out. And the times where it didn't work out and then it sucked was when I like didn't put all the things in place before I like took the step. Like, I think it's very important in life to like take the leap. I'm a big believer. It's a huge camp philosophy of like, you have to step outside your comfort zone. You know, like you don't need to be like miles away from your comfort zone, but it is good to like step outside your comfort zone. But like, you don't like, you know, when I tell kids like, okay, you can climb that rock wall. I know you're afraid of heights, but like you can do this. I don't send them up without a harness. You know, mm-hmm. I don't send them up without like me being there the whole time to like talk to them. So like, you know, I think that for me was really, important advice in terms of like, yeah, it's, you have to take leaps sometimes and like go for it and be an advocate for yourself. There's a lot of ways in which like, you know, we talk back about identities. Like there are ways in which like, people will not be advocates for me. I'm the only trans person at my work. So like I have to be an advocate in terms of like, and you know, it'd be great if like my allies were advocates for me, and sometimes they are, but sometimes I don't actually know what to ask for, and so I have to do that myself. But it's important to like set yourself up so that like if you get told no, or you get met with resistance or whatever, that like you either like have the tools to be able to function, or like you can move forward. No, like if you're advocating for yourself about something that you think is like crucial to have, and somebody says no, I think it's also important to like figure out, okay, then what do I do when I get told no? What do I do next if I really, really believe in this thing that I really think it should happen? You know. And then the other piece of advice. Sorry, I'm gonna like do two things here.
This is the point. Okay. I want to hear from you.
Okay. A friend of mine told me once. I'm an overthinker, right, Matt? So my friend was complaining to me one time. I said, they probably like, you know, somebody said something shitty. They probably didn't mean that. And my friend said, I'm really sorry, but actually the reason I vented was because I wanted someone to be able to say like, wow, that sucks. That's shitty. And I remember one time I called my mom and I was complaining about this thing. And she was like, well, you could do A, B, or C. And I was like, I know I can do A, B, and C, but all of A, B, and C are like more work. And I'm upset that I have to do A, B, and C. Yeah. And I was like, I just wanted to call and for you to say, that really sucks. And my mom has since like, you know, used that like as like re-reference that to me of like, I'll like complain about something or she'll be complaining about something. And she'll be like, I guess I just wanted to call so that you would say, oh, that sucks. I'm sorry you had a bad day, you know? And so like as somebody who's an overthinker, if you're an overthinker who's out there, sometimes your friends just want you to be like, I'm sorry. That sucks. I don't have a solution for you, but that sucks. You know, or maybe they do want a solution and then you can help them figure it out. But, you know, sometimes somebody just wants somebody to vent, you know?
Yeah, and I think that that's actually a really interesting point, even thinking about, you know, a lot of what we've talked about, because as like as advocates, like that's definitely one thing that I would say links us, you know, in this world other than RHAP and other things that we've talked about. Just, you know, sometimes there's this tendency to want to like fix things or offer help or like raise your hand and say like, okay, like here's what my solution would be. And it's funny, I've had that same exact thing with my mom, and I had to have a conversation with her once where I was venting to her about, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember exactly where we were. We were like in the car and I turned to her. And, you know, I've always known my mom as someone who is like the fixer. My dad was always, my dad passed away like 5 years ago, but my dad was always like the one who would be more of like the, oh, that's rough, but you could do it kind of type of thing. My mom very much like goes to the practical advice. And I remember once turning to her and being like, you know, sometimes I like you as my mom, I want you to be there as a parent or as my mom, and like maybe less as like someone I could look to for business advice or work advice or life advice in that way. And so I think that's really deep. I think that's really deep and powerful.
Do you know the thing I was complaining about? I'm a millennial and about? I don't own a printer, and I had a prescription.
I don't either.
It was a new prescription, and I would like went to the pharmacy. I'm like, I just have this email of my prescription, and they're like, no, you have to print it out. And I was like, I don't have anywhere to print it out. It's like whatever. And so I went home and I like call my mom. She's like, well, why, you could go to Staples. And I was like, no, I know I could go to Staples, but it's annoying that I have to go to Staples when I just like want to get this like medication and you shouldn't that have I
to
need
freaking go to Staples.
for my colitis. You know, I just want it. Can't, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, I was just like, I don't have a printer. And I was like, well, you should have a printer, or you could go to Staples or whatever. And I was just like, I know.
It's
I just
like, wanted no, you to say, shouldn't.
Yeah. I just wanted you to say, that's really annoying that you have to do like the extra steps, you know?
I'm fired up about this now, and I'm not going to go into it, but I've had like similar issues that related to my mom. And thankfully, by the point I complained to her about my printer, my millennial not having a printer issue, she didn't offer advice. She kind of just understood how ridiculous it was that you have to print things in 2022. Yeah. But you know, something that I want to kind of, as we get closer to the end, the point where we have to say goodbye, I just want to ask you, Grace, you know, you've given us your wisdom. You had a great leader pun that I'm not even remembering. I want to ask, like, just where things, you know, I know that, yeah, you're on your journey, you're going ahead on it. And I just want to ask, like, are there any goals or things you kind of want to put out into the universe on like where you're headed or where you want to be? No time limit on that one. But yeah, I'm curious, you know, because like the people want to know, and they want to also support you in that.
You know, you asked me this question and you gave me time to think about it. And I really don't know if I have a goal. This is like, I feel like this sounds kind of silly to think like, yeah, I'm just sort of like floating rudderless, but I don't know that I have goals. I'm a little bit in my life have always been, you know, it's funny, for as much as I love routine and consistency, sometimes I want to break up that routine and consistency, and yeah. I don't want to go with no routine. I want to develop a new routine that I want instead. My grandmother, I remember the story where my grandmother loves to move furniture, and so when it's thundering outside, we always imagine that is my grandmother rearranging the furniture. You'd often come home. I don't really know my grandmother. She passed away when I was very young. But she loved to rearrange the furniture. Yeah. And to me, that like, you know, the way I connect with that is that like, yeah, I'm not going to get rid of all my furniture, but if I rearrange it and it like feels new and different, like that's fun for me. That's like the level of change that I like in my life. And so there's two things here. One is I'm kind of always a little bit like, I am kind of looking for something new and different. And that's part of like, that's one thing, you know, about my identity that I didn't say. I also have ADD. So there's ways in which like the routine also like does help me in that sense, because I don't get sidetracked. But, I'm constantly looking, okay, what's the next show that's coming, or, you know, whatever. But the other thing I've really liked, I mean, the Offspeed podcast, and then I have a couple. The Pride Has Spoken is a good example. And yeah. I believe there'll be a podcast coming out on the Post Show Recaps patron feed next month when this drops, which is a totally different format than anything I've ever done before.
Oh.
Where we are not going to watch a show and recap it. We are going to explore topics. So, that thing I was saying earlier about like how TV and media can reflect culture, it's like a huge thing that I'm like super interested in. So like, do people want anti-heroes at the moment? I think no, because like we've had years and years recently in North America of pretty terrible people getting away with stuff. And I think that people are kind of like, I don't want Walter White. I don't want Don Draper. I want Ted Lasso. I want the nice guy. I want the guy who does good things and tries really hard and kind of struggles with that. I don't want like meth selling Walter White, you know? And so we're exploring this podcast that's like about ideas and topics. So like, what makes a good book adaptation? What's the best summer movie? This kind of stuff that like I'm excited to, in our little world, sort of break up the format of some of this stuff, but not with everything. I love, you know, what we did with Heartstopper and what we're doing.
Yeah.
A bunch of other podcasts, but getting to sort of play around with the format of podcasts and dig a little bit, you know, into some of these conversation pieces that I think are really interesting. I would love to, you know, maybe follow in a little bit of Karen's footsteps. I don't think I have the capacity in the moment with a full-time job to do Twitch, but like YouTube videos are an area that I would like to explore. I'm a big games person, and I thought that there were some people who were doing some really cool stuff at the beginning of COVID that was really interesting and compelling stuff in terms of like reality TV players playing games and things that I would, you know, I'd be interested in like game night, like a YouTube channel game night. So like there's some stuff I've explored. And you know, earlier I mentioned, I feel like one of my skill sets is being good with kids, entertaining children. I would like to, when the world opens up a little bit, it feels safer, to start doing some more volunteering in that space, and especially about queer and trans youth. Because that's like, I spent a lot of my life, my career was supporting children with type 1 diabetes, which I think is hugely important. But, you know, if I can sort of provide some of that same stuff that I got to provide for kids with type 1 to queer and trans kids, I think that would be really cool. So, I mean, like, I don't have these like huge, like, you know, things that I can like quantify that I'll like, you know, if I do this thing in 5 years, I'll do it. But I have some like things that I'd like to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that idea of moving the furniture around as like this broader metaphor for life and, you know, just shaking things up and doing things differently. And like, there's a lot that stays the same / a lot that won't change. Like you get the example of having type 1 diabetes and then being like, okay, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. And it's like, okay, yeah. You have to keep doing that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I, in that spirit, kind of as we wrap up, I kind of want to give it to you, Grace. You're a consummate professional and a profound podcaster. I kind of want to give it to you to wrap us up. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's something deep you want to say. Maybe there's a game that you want to wrap us up with. Maybe you want to wrap. I was like, that might be a little complicated and involved.
Yeah, that's pressure.
Maybe there's a joke that you would tell to, or something you would say to the children. I do have a baby face, so maybe you could like really see the kids in this, right? But like, you know, I want to kind of hand it to you to like wrap it up and do the pod thing.
Do you know what, Matt? If I don't execute this one well, I think you have to cut it. But I used to do this bit. So one of my favorite things about camp was campfires. And campfires were kind of, you know, we would sing silly repeat after me songs and play stupid games. And I loved campfire. It's like, you know, again, that thing of like getting to entertain people and like being in front of people. I remember this one time me and my friend Tom, who like, I don't know if Tom's ever going to listen to this, but Tom is one of my favorite people in the entire world. Met him at summer camp. Mm-hmm. He's from Liverpool. He's an incredible, incredible person, who is just, we vibed so much on like what we were getting out of camp. And he's just the best. And so Tom and I would often like, just sign up to do campfire, just the two of us. And we just do campfire for an hour and then we lose our voice the next day. But I used to have this bit that I would do. It's like this sort of long form joke that if you would like, we could reenact it. And I need you to play the role of, person, you're calling me and you want to speak with shoes.
Okay. You
speak to my shoes.
Got it. Hello.
You didn't even do a ring.
Hold on. Bring.
Yes. Hello. Yes. Hello.
Ring. Oh. Hey. Hey. May I please speak to shoes?
Oh, you inspect. Oh, hey, Matt. Hey, you want to speak to shoes?
To shoes. Yes.
You're talking about shoes. Give me a sec. I'll get shoes.
Yeah.
So I did the fake phone, which like, I did the like aloha fake phone, which did you know that kids these days actually do a full hand, but that's another story. So then I'm putting the phone down and pretending to put my hand over the bottom of the speaker, because I'm then going to call to shoes down the hall. Shoes. It's for you. Shoes. Don't stick your tongue out at me. Shoes. Come on. You got to answer. It's Matt. He wants to, I don't know what he wants to talk about. No, Crocs, it's not for you. It's never for you, Crocs. Shoes, just pick up the phone. It's just, I don't know. It's, you don't want to, you're not going to answer it? What, do you have no soul? Come on, shoes. Come, shoes. Okay, I'll tell, but this is the last time. Hey, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, they're all tied up right now. It's the whole joke, right? That's the whole bit. That's the bit, is that the shoes are tied up right now. Yeah. So I used to do that at camp. Yeah.
Damn it, Grace.
it's just stupid, but it's the best.
I think that's a good note to end this podcast on. I really don't even, I can't go on.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say though, to wrap it up? Cause I could just cut it there, but you know what? Anything?
No, I appreciate you. I can't believe that like people requested me to come on, that you chose
tons of
to
people.
Have me on the podcast. I really appreciate you and what you do in our little community and Pod Friends is so great. It's so fun. I mean, I think just people be kind to each other, people are just trying to live their lives, you know? Just be kind and chat with me about any of the things that I like to talk about and or not. Sometimes I like to hear about what people are interested in. So yeah, I really appreciate you having me on. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to my conversation with Grace. And I just love talking with Grace in general. I love how we're able to talk about serious things and funny things and shenanigans and camp and games and just all of the above. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about Grace, is that she is everything. Like, she brings so much of herself to this world. And if there's one thing I could plug, especially because it's so current and present on RHAP, it's that you check out The Pride Has Spoken, the podcast series that I'm working on with Grace and releasing this month. There's a lot more exciting stuff coming up in terms of conversations between Evie and former Survivor players, and even with some of the RHAP queer podcasters. And so check it out, and definitely let Grace know, and I guess let me know that you're checking it out. And so, without further ado, again, just want to thank the RHAP team for helping this come together. And as I wrap up this outro, not an intro, but an outro, I just want to say next week's episode is going to be really thrilling, and I hope that you check it out. But as I say at the end of each and every one of these episodes, thank you for being a pod friend.